This is Ed Chat Main, the podcast. Hosted by the Ed Chat Main design team, Billy Cochran, Matt Drouet Card, Jen Michaelis, John Pratt, Becca Redman, Dan Ryder, Andy Wallace, and Jonathan Werner. Find Ed Chat Main online at hashtag EdChatME or on our website, edchatme.weebly.com. Let's talk about autonomy. Autonomy is tricky. Autonomy is hard to narrow down, hard to pin down. Autonomy is one of those things where it's kind of like that definition of obscenity that was made so famous in the Supreme Court by Justice Potter so many years ago. Or Potter Sherman, sorry. I know it when I see it. I can't define it, but I know it when I see it. What is autonomy? It's independence. It's doing things on your own. It's freedom. It's liberty. Autonomy is the crux and the core of our democratic principles. It's what's at our center. The ability to choose, the ability to live your life. Now, what has happened over the years is that our system, our culture, our communities, we've gotten a lot more complex than they used to be. You know, it used to be very simple. You'd get up, go to work. Then we started to say, well, maybe we need to learn things. As our system has evolved, as our structures have evolved, we've learned the importance of learning. And what's become really important is not just teaching kids stuff, which is the system that I grew up in. You know, I did not grow up in, I went to some great schools growing up, don't get me wrong. But it was very much based in a model of do this because we say to do it. In a word, compliance. Now, compliance is the word that gets a bad rap sometimes, and it brings a lot of bias with it. There are different gradations of compliance. And compliance is actually needed in order to be autonomous. How is that even possible? How can you possibly be compliant? Is compliance a necessary component of autonomy? Well, here's how. If you are going to independently learn things, if you're going to be an autonomous, do whatever it is, if you're going to autonomously go and build a birdhouse or learn to build a birdhouse, well, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to follow certain steps, safety precautions. You're going to have to learn basic skills. And within those basic skills, there are steps that are pretty much mandated. You have to follow. It might not look the same way for everybody, but you're going to build a birdhouse. You're going to need a structure of some kind, whether it's wood or metal or fiberglass or whatever it's going to be. You're going to need structure. That's part of being compliant. Compliant just means following a set of rules. Now, in education, we tend to look at compliance as being do as I say. Come in, sit down in your rows, and follow instructions. I was pretty good at the compliance model, and I actually learned to game it really well. I don't think I really read too many books in my high school because I figured out how to get good grades and not read books. So compliance is really an important part of autonomous learning. It's a foundational piece. But it's not the end. And unfortunately, our system has become too reliant and dependent upon compliance at the end. As the end, excuse me. So what we're talking about is autonomy. In order to be an autonomous learner, you have to have the foundations. In order to be able to do things on your own and to create, to develop, and to design, you need foundational skills. And those come through a level of compliance. But what we have to start doing is asking questions about our systems and our structures. To what extent do we go beyond compliance? Do we allow our students to express, to create, to design within their world? One of the things my daughter, who's 7 years old, told me recently, I asked her, if you could build a class or build a school and do whatever you want to do, what would it be? And she said, I would love to design clothing and costumes out of paper. And I pressed her on this, and she just loves to do it. She wants to create out of paper. That's awesome. How can we do that at home? How can I nurture that at home? But in order to do that, you're going to have to learn basic design principles. There's a lot of math involved. There are a lot of angles and a lot of distribution of weight and flow. There's a lot to it that she's willing to learn. And she knows she has to build those foundational components to it. But how might we be able to really design a plan for her? So the autonomy comes from a foundational level of compliance. When we're talking about autonomy, we have to talk about both freedom, independence, and liberty, and choice, along with following expectations, meeting expectations. There's both. You go back to our Bill of Rights and you look at free speech. Free speech does not mean you can say whatever you want to say whenever you want to say it. There are limits on free speech. As people have said many times, freedom is not, in fact, free. Freedom does not mean complete and total chaos and anarchy. Liberty does not mean that. Autonomy doesn't mean that either. You cannot have 100% pure open choice in everything we do in life. But what we can do is we can take interest and we can provide students with the tools that are necessary in order to teach them how to learn on their own. And that is what autonomy and autonomous learning is really about. It's really about building environments where students can learn on their own. One of the things I hear a lot of teachers, a lot of educators, a lot of administrators say is that these students aren't just engaged. These students they're not learning on their own. They're just doing it because we tell them to do it. And they get the good grade and then they move on and they forget everything that they've learned. People have been saying that for years. I was a prime student of that. I would study for the test, cram it all in, pass on the test, and then forget everything that was on that test. Or like 80% of it. But why is that? Is that good enough? We wonder why we're not learning. It's because why they're not autonomously or independently learning on their own. The reasons are our structures, our systems, the way our environments, the way in which we have created our learning environment. We do it in a way where the students are literally handed everything. We hand them the goal. We hand them the measurement tool. We hand them the textbooks. We hand them the ways in which they're going to do the learning. We hand them the tests. We grade the tests. We give them the grade. Oh, no, they earned the grade. No. We give it to them. We could say it's what they earned, but we gave it to them. We read it. We judge it. We give that grade. In all of that, where is their choice? Where is their voice? And where is their independence in the learning? we do it all. There's a great book by Dr. Robin Jackson called Never Work Harder Than Your Students. And it's a recommended resource for any educator. The basic premise is this: if you're working 40 hours and they're working 4, you're doing something wrong. If your students are not the hardest working people in the classroom, something's got to change. Because they should be the ones working the hardest.
Well, how do you get them to work hard?
Well, you have to kind of trick them. You have to make it seem like it's not work. Because as we all know, as every adult would understand, time flies when you're engaged. Thought I was going to say fun, didn't you? No, time flies when you're engaged. Because if you're engaged in something, if you're having fun with something, guess what? That's all you're thinking about. That's all you're doing. You're working hard at it. You are enjoying it, and you are all in on it. So if we want our students to learn how to learn, to be autonomous learners, to be self-directed, lifelong learners, we need to create environments that allow those things to flourish, that allow those kids, sorry, not things, that allow those kids, those people to flourish in those environments. And simply saying, today we are going to do fractions, get out your textbook, read this page, answer these problems, and then I will grade these problems, does not motivate or create an environment that will promote productive struggle, that will promote learning, that will promote autonomy. We have to change our environments. That is what needs to happen in order to create more independent, autonomous learners. And it comes from, it doesn't have to be big, it doesn't have to be big changes, it can be little changes. It comes from taking the pressure away from teachers to say, I have to create all these tests. Instead of creating tests, create scales. Create performance or proficiency scales. So, if the standard says compare and contrast, main idea, for example. Okay, so you say to a student, we're going to be working on comparing and contrasting main idea. This is one of the expectations that we have. And engage in conversations with students or create opportunities for students to compare and contrast main idea. If they're not there yet, do they have the foundational levels? Teachers can create scales, and then students can create various pathways and various ways to approach within their levels of learning to teach them autonomous learning to meet those expectations. We can do that. We can just simply say, I'm not going to give you a test. I want you to show it to me. And if you can't do it, we're gonna pick it apart, and then I'm gonna tell you, if you're not at a 3, if you're not meeting the expectations or you're not applying your expectations, but you're more like at a foundational level on your own, you're doing this stuff on your own, well, I'm gonna give you some tips and some tools and some tricks, or some, not some tricks, but some skills to improve. If we focus on the autonomy as a result of the complexity in our expectations, we will be building independent, autonomous learners. I'm going to say that again. If we focus on the autonomy as it relates and is connected to the complexity in the standards, we'll be building autonomous learners. I know it wasn't exactly the same as I said it the first time, but that's okay. You know what I meant. Fearless listeners. This was a fun discussion this week on self-directed lifelong learners. And I hope you check out our Next Steps blog. I hope you check out our webpage, edchatme.weebly.com. You can follow EdChatMain on Twitter, at EdChatME, or any of the members of our design team. Billy Cochran, Becca Redman, Jed Michaelis, Andy Wallace, Jonathan Werner, John Pratt, and Dan Ryder. And I'm Matt Drew Eckhardt.